Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Both in the corporate world and throughout the government community, information remains a highly valuable asset. Information resource management for today's society requires talented, informed, and effective leaders who will overcome economic and political pressures, adjust with the changes of national security, and leverage enterprise information technologies. With us today to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resource Management College within the National Defense University. Dr. Childs, welcome to our show. It's a pleasure having you.
I'm very happy to be here today.
Also joining us today is Jonathan Bruhl, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Jonathan, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thanks, Al.
Dr. Childs, or may I call you Bob?
Yes.
Bob, let's start by providing our listeners with some context about your organization. Could you take a few minutes and provide us an overview of the history and mission of the Information Resources Management College at NDU, and how does it support the overarching mission of the National Defense University?
What I'd like to do is take you back in history and give a context, but I want to start in the future. I want to start right now, and we've just completed celebrating our 20th anniversary this last September, and it made us think about a lot of things that have gone on in the past with the history of the college, and it's very much paralleled society and what's gone on there. And we started thinking about what we really do, and we came up with the line, shaping the future, and we put that in our catalog, and then we talked more about what does shaping the future mean? What do we really do with our classes and our programs? And we discovered that what we're really doing is crossing boundaries, interagency boundaries, international boundaries, and boundaries with the private sector. Building communities of like-minded people was the second thing that we figured out that we do. And by doing these things, we actually transform organizations. Now let's flash back in history. Why was National Defense University formed? Back in 1976, the university was formed, and the idea was to bring together senior leaders, primarily military leaders at the time, and since that it's grown to the interagency. About 25% of the students at National Defense University are interagency. In 1982, Lieutenant General Poste had the vision and the idea that someday computers would be central to everything that we were doing, and leaders needed to know something about computers. And he thought to prepare leaders, he needed something like this. And at the time, there was the Department of Defense Computer Institute. And he said, I think I'll bring that under the auspices of National Defense University. And he did this. Flash ahead to 1988. And Robert Helms, at that time, was taking a look at the systems within the federal government. And automated information systems were costing billions of dollars. And software was becoming prevalent, and it was commonplace both in the private and public sector. So the question became, what kind of skill sets do people need in information technology, and what type of management and leadership challenges and competencies did these individuals need to lead what was going on within the information world, as yet fairly well undefined? Then what happened is, under Lieutenant General Brad Hosmer, the university took the Department of Defense Computer Institute and decided to upgrade the faculty to go from people that were technicians to more or less people that were practitioners, managers, and leaders within the information fields. They wanted to reorient the curriculum, make it more graduate level than more technical. They wanted to relocate from the Navy Yard and bring the expertise over to National Defense University, where all the other students from the National War College and the Industrial College of the Armed Forces were located. and they wanted to rename the institution. So that's how it all started.
So around some more specifics, how big is the Information Resources Management College, and can you give us a sense of the size of the budget and perhaps the number of full-time employees there?
Certainly. The number of employees varies between filling on hires and military deployments and everything, but it's around 85, 50 faculty members, 35 staff members doing different things. And we're organized to really be flexible, innovative, creative, and be a hothouse for ideas and address concerns that, that leaders in the information age have. I was part of the group back in 1988 that considered moving the college, and then I came over as the academic dean in 1991. So I've been with the college since its inception, more or less. But at the very beginning, we set out to do four things that were important then and they're important today. And the first was be a distinctive institution, be unique. And the way we did that, we went out and benchmarked against other colleges, other universities, other institutes, the London School of Economics. I went to Singapore. I went to different institutions in Europe. And I was trying to learn how we could take their practices and use them. And what I found out is we were very unique already. And halfway through the conversations, they were turning to me saying, well, what else are you thinking about doing? It seems that you're doing these things. Point two, focus on the customer. And the customer is either individuals or organizations. And I look at both that way because sometimes individuals will come to us. Sometimes we go to larger organizations like FAA or EPA or State Department. The third point is secure and sustain the allegiance of DOD and the federal community. If you don't have allegiance, if you don't have money coming in, you can't sustain your programs. And since then, we've added the private sector and international. And the last one, which is interesting, it's achieve national and international recognition. And some people say, well, why are you concerned about that? Well, it's the fastest way to get attention and to let other people know what you have and what you can contribute.
That's great. So you mentioned that about 25% of the population enrolled, I believe you said, are interagency. So who exactly is eligible to enroll in the college?
Okay. As far as the interagency goes, this is a mid-level to senior leader program. So we're talking about GS-12s and majors and above. I might mention about our population, we're 70% DOD and 30% as of today. The 100% of DOD, 70% of those are civilian versus military, okay, which is a mirror image of the National War College and the Industrial College. That has expanded, and we're trying to push the limits on getting private sector students in also because just take Afghanistan and Iraq, for example. Half the people over there are private sector. They're contractors, and I think we need to educate these people with the government people at the same time. Also, interagency is big, as you know, and the concept of the national security professional is coming into play. And the skills that we teach, the competencies we teach, are really not skills just for chief information officers. They're skills for anybody that's a manager or a leader today.
Bob, with this overview, could you tell us a bit more about your role as the senior director of the IRM College? What are your specific responsibilities and duties?
Well, obviously to run a quality institution, that's first and foremost, but I turn the academic programs over to my academic dean, Dr. Elizabeth McDaniel, who does an exceptional job in that area. We have a number of different programs, but my job's to push the boundaries. The areas I'm working on most right now are the international area because we have coalition partners, allies, friendly countries, and it's a type of soft power. When you can help your allies and friends, when you can work on things that have to do with interoperability and make their processes and procedures better, you're not only helping them, you're helping this country in the national security arena too. And also the private sector. I'm spending a lot of time and energy with the private sector right now because, as you know, Jonathan, in our labs, the private sector is donating and loaning a lot of equipment which federal employees wouldn't get to see otherwise, and we can put it in our information labs, our technology labs, our information assurance labs, our crisis management labs, and it's kind of one-stop shopping. The other part of what I do, I'm supposed to be the cheerleader. I'm out there, enthusiasm, pushing, going, get on the bandwagon. We've got something good to offer, and I'm the salesman doing it.
Well, with all these responsibilities in front of you, what are your top three challenges that you face in your position, and how are you addressing them?
The top one is sense and respond to the environment. You have to sense that environment and find out what's going on. Like, we've migrated, for example, from resident programs to a distributed learning program so we can get people into our program. It's about access. It's not about scalability in the case of distributed learning. We do education in context, where we will design programs for different agencies. We believe in reusable code. In other words, we may have different programs. FAA may come to us and say, hey, I need a jump start program for some of our future leaders. What can you pull from your process improvement, from your organizational development courses, from your emerging technologies, and design a special course for us? The private sector, that's a great opportunity. Like I said, I'd rather look at things as opportunities. The private sector their business in the business area, but I found that a lot of the attitude of how can I help the country, the private sector is just looking for ways to help out also. And I can't speak enough for that of the help that the private sector has added to the college and made it what it is today as far as the latest technologies and best practices. And they're always wide open to our students going out and making either local visits, or our advanced management program actually travels for a week and goes around the country to different agencies. And they open their arms and they share everything with us. And I think that's extremely important.
Now, Bob, you're clearly very passionate about IRM and what you do. I'm curious, how did you get started? And as you reflect over the years that you've spent at the college, how has your management and leadership style perhaps changed?
To use a cliche, it was almost the perfect storm. I went through the MAT program at Duke, and then I got a doctoral degree from the University of Denver, and these were in the areas of teaching and management and educational management. Then I went through the Duke Fuqua School, the Advanced Management Program, and there I was with a lot of industry people. From there, starting my military career, I was Chief of an Instructor Training Branch. I learned about lifelong learning there and how important it was, continuing education. I was part of the initial group that built an institution at the Community College of the Air Force, so I learned a little bit about institutional building. I worked military personnel policy, the education side. I was involved in seeing what went on with the development and the founding of the National Defense University back in 1976. And from that moment on, I said, boy, this is an institution that can have a profound impact on this country. Later, I was a student at the National War College, a senior research fellow there, became director of planning and programs at the National Defense University. But the most significant experience I ever had was with the American Council on Education. I had a fellowship with them for 1 year, and it was a program to learn how to be a college president or a college dean. I had the opportunity to work for Dr. George Johnson, who was a president, and he literally took George Mason from a little-known community college to an incredible institution that has world-renowned programs in some areas. And many of the practices that I use at the IRM College, I learned from Dr. Johnson. I can't give him enough credit. So all these things coming together and my passion for building teams and being successful, and to be quite blunt, wanting to be the best, drives me daily. I want the institution to be the best. I want people who are passionate about their work. And I want the college to contribute to national security.
How has the IRM College evolved to become a recognized global learning community? We will ask Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resources Management College within NDU, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.